Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Bonsai Chat. I'm your host, Ryan, and we are here to talk about all things pop culture, video games, movies, and other bullshit, right? And of course, who else would I be here with my good buddy, DJ Gran. What's going on, DJ?
Not a whole lot. Thanks for, I like being here. Thanks for keeping me on.
Good DJ.
That's too much.
So yeah, I just want to say you can find everything that we do over on BonsaiChat.com. That's BonsaiChat.com. Follow, subscribe, all that stuff on YouTube and Instagram. I'm just going to stick with Instagram. I barely go on Twitter, but I'll still post there too if we have stuff. But we got a good show. We got a good topic that we're going to be talking about. And we're going to be going over some video game E3 stuff because why wouldn't we, right? You know, one of the biggest video game things happened this past weekend. And it's kind of a mix of video game and a Father's Day special podcast, I'll say, for what we're going to be talking about today. And so let's start with that. So some of the Bonsai bullshit we're going to talk about is E3 just happened, and it technically is still going on. Did you read any of that?
No, I just read a couple of the releases of what was coming out, and I mostly read because I'm only interested in the Xbox.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, again, with E3, the point of any kind of, you know, conference or whatever it is, I mean, you're going to be looking for what you have, and especially in these games. I mean, it's like, why would you care about something you're not going to play?
Yes. I mean, well, that's why I was focusing in on the Xbox. And there is one game that I am excited, just one, that's okay. Coming out, you know, that they at least talked about on the press release that I read. It's the Forza Horizon 5.
All right.
I know you don't like driving games, but I love that game.
That had a lot of, like, good feedback, though. I mean, people were really excited for that. And yeah, I mean, I'm not a big car guy or anything, especially like racing games and stuff.
Yeah, but
like
this
that,
is a different than the regular Forza racing is circuit racing. I agree with you. I don't like that one. But this is open world. Now, I do have racing within, like, they've done England, they've done Australia, and I've played those games, and they have races within those streets. But you can also just explore the entire world that they offer you in the game, find hidden cars. See, and there was even a, this is why I really like this. There was a Rush reference in the last Forza game. Maybe it was two ago. It was two ago. There's a Rush song called Red Barchetta, and it's a 116 Ferrari.
I've heard you talk about the Red Barchetta.
And it's actually in one of the, it's a, you have to find these barns, and in the barn are these hidden gems. Some of them are BS, but some of them are really good cars.
Yeah.
And one of them was a 116 Ferrari Red Barchetta. And they even quoted a line from Rush, and so I know they're tying it into Rush. So just by that fact alone, this game's worthy. Really,
you just have that what's a Futurama? Have you ever seen Futurama? You ever watch that?
Yeah, of course.
Like, give me my money. Yeah, yes. That mean thing.
Yes. I think there's been a Rush reference in Futurama too. But anyways,
Tom Sawyer when he does his video game.
Yes, thing. Yes, that's what it is.
That's what I can think.
Yes,
of. There might be others.
But my point is, that's just one little gem of that game series. But I like, the cars are very realistic. They're new cars, old cars. They're, you can buy cars, you can modify the cars. And I just like the open world aspect of it, where you don't have to just stick to a race. You can go and just drive.
Yeah, NASCAR game of whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
It's, there are, like I said, there are
like Gran Turismos. Yeah. Like, those are really popular, but they're like racing games.
Yeah. Well, like I said, there's racing in this game as well, because it'll set up, like I said, within a, you have to navigate the city streets, and sometimes around the country where you go off-roading. So there are, you know, races. But when you're done with that race, you can literally just go driving. I mean, and do what you want. It's, that's what I like about the Forza, the Horizon Forza games.
Yeah. I didn't know you were such a big fan of that, because there is a huge gamer fandom of just, I mean, racing games in general and all that stuff too, because it's, I mean, people love all that, you know. And they, this goes back too from like even like PlayStation times, like I said, like Gran Turismo is one, and
well, I've tried the Rivals ones, the what's it, Need for Speed. I've tried those, and they're not bad. But to me, the best one is the Forza Horizon. And that's
like a big appeal of like GTAs too, where GTA is more, you know, there's more stuff going on in that game, but there is a huge, more or less, side of like that fandom that, you know, yeah, you can kill hookers and do whatever you want and like, you know, do all this stuff and go crazy in an open world, like gangster setting. But people love that game more or less because you can, I mean, you're stealing the cars, but the whole point is like you can just drive around, you know, in whatever city they made.
That's something like that.
And they keep the detail of the, you know, their actual cars. It's not just like some wacky.
Yeah. And the cars in Horizon are damn near precise to what they are. And you can have Lamborghinis, Bugattis, and then Fords, just about any Ford, you know, all of them. It runs the whole entire spectrum.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really awesome. And you can modify those cars too. You can paint them. I mean, I took a Raptor and painted it blue and put the University of Michigan wings on the hood. Nice. Oh, it was sweet. It was. I got a whole bunch of lights for it too and everything. So you can do stuff like that. It takes time. But, I mean...
Well, that's just the same. There's customization in cars, and it actually makes more sense because I love fighting games and all that, and they have, and a lot of more modern fighting games nowadays, you know, they have customize your own character, and it's like a chore, but, I mean, it's so popular, and people love to do it, but, I mean, some of the things they come out with, you know, they literally make, like, All Might, and, like, in these, like, just... you know, characters that aren't supposed to be in these games, but they just figured out how to do them. And I think that's like, it's a whole other skill, especially with a car.
It is. Like, you know. Yeah, well, and you can also in these games buy other people's skins. So other people do the work and you like that. You can
put that on your car. That's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. So I really like almost the only thing I think that could improve on that game is because you get a radio so you can listen when you're cruising. Music sucks.
Yeah.
But if they could just get good classic rock, then I would say every part about that game.
Still not play, like, I don't know how this is going back to like PS3. Like, I know you're able to put on, you know, you can put music into your system and so, especially like Xbox and all that.
I don't know if you can do it this game, because this game, when you're cruising, they have like four different stations, and one will be like actual classical music, you know, like Beethoven, and then they'll have a dance, you know, station, and they'll have one that's called rock, but it's not very good music, you know. So
it's missing one band, right?
No, even if they had, you know, like Van Halen or Aerosmith or something,
some
that
more generic,
like I said, classic rock. Then I would appreciate, even if they didn't play Rush, at least I would appreciate that.
Okay.
Rush would be better.
I get it.
But that's the one improvement I think they could make, is by making the radio better. I'll have to check out and see if you can add, because if I did, I'll be doing nothing but Rush. But
I've known that with other games where there's, you know, it's like now, like this goes back to fighting games and stuff. They what was cool was a lot of the fighting games on like the PS3, PS4 kind of changed it a little bit, but. And again, I'm not sure how the PS5 works, and I would expect Xbox has the same kind of, obviously, you know.
They're compatible. I'm assuming they would be close.
But again, it's like you can put on music on your Xbox or PlayStation, whatever it is.
Okay. But is that just music that plays in the background while you play the game? It's not actually in the game?
But it's in the background of the game. And you can adjust it so that's all you hear. So it's like if you're driving. Like,
no, I'm sure you could do that with the Xbox. I was talking about within the game. Okay, I'm sure you could do that with the Xbox. I've never done that.
Some games actually make it where you can, like, the, like, if you have a music library on your Xbox or PlayStation, it's like we can connect to your, you know, music library. And it's like your music library will be the background music. And then you would still hear, like, the game, like all the sound effects and everything else, so it's like you're not missing the game and like whatever generic song they would have.
Okay, we're just gonna go on and on this, but in the Horizon game, the radio DJs always give information.
Oh, okay, all right. So yeah, that might be a little different.
Yeah, exactly, because I think you'd lose that information if you're not
playing.
That's
where it's like if it's dabbling into like the gameplay.
Yeah,
you know,
they tell you, you know, some new events up, go over here, and they even have there's a part of it where you get these points by just doing chaos, just hitting things, you know, yeah. doing on 180s and fields and stuff, and you get points for doing that, and a whole bunch of and which you can then take and get more stuff. And so they announced that on the radio. So I think that's probably why.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a game mechanic. So.
Yeah, they just need better music is what I'm just going to compose down to. Well, what did you like of the E3?
There was a lot, but again, I think the E3 thing with, you know, they canceled it last year, and now it's, you know, the digital one. But it is a thing where it needs to just be a conference, because the whole point of E3, which something that like me and you could, you know, probably never go to or anything, because with E3, since even, you know, if you go to it and it's at like, you know, LA or all that, it's like you have to be invited to go because you have to be like part of press and all that stuff. It's not like something you can like buy a ticket for. I think they were starting to do that in the last one.
We just have to get our press credentials.
True, which would be cool. But again, it's just like almost then it's a lot of work because, again, you're working. Yeah. So, and, you know, that'd be fun. But I just thought it was like silly that they made this whole thing of, I'm not saying E3 should be canceled or anything, but it's just, I mean, like, why do we need this? It is a thing of like, especially when you're watching on your computer and stuff, you're getting all these companies that are already there. Like, E3 isn't doing anything to them. They put them out there. But if you're finding out Bethesda, you know, Capcom, these are established companies that, yeah, they literally have their own whatever channels and whatever medium that is, just post their new shit on whatever day and make it, you know, like Nintendo Directs. Nintendo was on here, but they always have Nintendo Directs, and that always is going to happen, E3 or not, which is why, like, Sony's not there, and that's, like, a big thing because they're like, we just put out our own thing because Sony's doing their, you know, it's like,
you're all marketing. Helping. They just want to get out to the masses and that's the thing, any way they can.
And that's the thing.
It's another stream.
The
another
nicest
avenue.
Thing about E3, it does condense it all into like, all right, we just need to see this block of chunks of trailers. And again, like some of these games don't ever come out when they're supposed to. And there's all that blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I mean, this, I'll take all the negative stuff aside, but it wasn't too bad. I mean, I liked a lot of the Nintendo stuff they had. Like, I think it's so funny that they're still putting out Smash Brothers characters. I don't know if you know.
Played. I know the Smash Brothers, yes.
But it's like Kazuya is a Tekken character, like the main Tekken character, and he's a PlayStation character. So it's now they're crossing the line of like what Smash Brothers is, which I guess I don't really mind. And like the presentation they had was cool, but I don't want, these are actually like fighting game characters. And if you ever play, have you ever played Smash Brothers?
No, I just know what it is. I have not played it.
So the way Smash Brothers is compared to other like fighting games, it's pretty basic. Like basically the thing is like, there's two buttons. You have like an attack button and your special button. And like, each direction of the joystick, like up, down, left, right, and that attack button is a move. And then it's just about like kind of manipulating, because you're running around. It's not like 2D and it's like four play. You know, it's like it's a massive like fighting game. It's not just like a one-on-one. And now they're bringing in so many more of just like these 2D, not 2D, but like single player fighting games that are all about the combos. And again, this is a Nintendo character. That's the thing that kind of bugged me, where they had a funny presentation of him just like throwing people off. Like that's like kind of the story of Tekken, is Kazuya like threw his dad off after he beat him. It's like he threw his dad off a cliff and all this stuff. And he's like throwing all the Smash Brothers characters, which is like Mario. Like it's all these like cute characters, and he's like killing them basically. And I thought that was very funny, but I'm like, I just feel like they're just not, they have Nintendo library. It's like you have so many things that are just Nintendo fans. It's like you could bring in any character, and it's, you could be more creative with your like character lineup. And they have done that. That's why Smash Brothers was so cool. And I think that, and again, this is PlayStation. people are like, oh, you have cloud and all this, but it's like Final Fantasy started on Nintendo. So it's like, you kind of have that, but now you're like, this started on PlayStation. So you don't have any room to talk here. This is a PlayStation, non-Nintendo character. And like, I don't know. I just want them to really dive deep into this pool of abyss that they have of thousands of millions of characters that they could just, you know, bring out, and it would work. It's like, why go above and beyond? Maybe with these they're just other
trying to cross over. I don't know.
Yeah, they are. And I'm like, it's just weird, and it doesn't make sense to me. But Mario Party was another one that I was really excited about because I've been bitching about it forever. And Mario Party came out for the Switch a little bit after it came out, maybe like a year or two. And it's a great game. It's awesome. It's a fun party game. You know, it's literally Mario Party, and it's great to play with people. And they just dropped like a month or two ago that it's online. It's like, well, why didn't you put that out, first of all, when the game came out, you know, 5 years ago? And then it's like, why didn't you put that out during the pandemic? You would have made a buttload of money with that too. Instead of now, where it's like,
maybe they got the idea from the pandemic and then it took that long to,
but then it's like, you know, whatever with that aside, but now they're making a Mario Party Superstars, which is cool, but they're basically taking all the old games and they're just like remastering them on this new thing, which I'm excited for, but it's like a whole new game you have to buy. And I would have, this is my like argument with it. It's like, even if they did DLC and all that, they could have done that since the game came out, like buy this new level. It has 10 extra mini games to it. You would have had my money. Like you would probably would have made more than making a new game 5 years later. So I was just disappointed. And me and my wife, it's just like, love playing that game, but there's five levels to it and we've played the death of it. And it's just not fun anymore. We're like, we've went back to the Wii to play those old ones, 'cause they're actually more exciting and actually have more variety to them. And it's like, why don't you learn from those eight other Mario parties you had? And they basically just did that. They're like, we made a new game, but it's all the other old games just with better graphics. And it's like, that's cool, but you really are just, you just don't give a fuck about that.
They're just squeezing the sponge to get as much cash out of that as
well. That's what I'm saying, because I'm like, yeah, I want to play this because it is more, because it is up to date. Like, everything's better. It's all up to date graphics and stuff, but they didn't make a new thing.
That novelty is going to wear off once you, I mean, it's going to be nice to see all the new graphics, well, but once that goes, it's going to wear off. The best thing,
it's not going to wear off. It's just going to help us so that we don't have to flip flop from systems. We can play it on the Switch and play on the Switch with, you know, four people and all that, instead of the two Wiimotes. You know, it's like, we don't have to go back into a system. So I guess it'll be worth it, but whatever. Nintendo sucks in a lot of ways, but Metroid Dread was pretty cool. I like that they're doing that, and I'm not a big Metroid fan, but I like where they're going with it, and they're kind of going back to the actual old style. And you know, I'm willing to try it out. You know, it's they haven't had a new Metroid game in a long time. So Breath of the Wild was shown, which was like, it's not coming out till 2022, but that game's one of the best Switch games. And yeah, I just want that game so bad. So like, they actually showed a lot of gameplay and stuff, and I can't know what real and what's not. You know, it looked really cool, but I just want that game. So 2022 is really going to be when games are going to be stepping up a lot too. Resident Evil Village is going to get DLC because it got a good review. Like, everyone wants it. So Capcom said that they were going to do that, and they didn't say what it was. So like, I'm like, just make it. I think what the fans want is probably more Lady D stuff, but I mean, they were going to get a DLC. The other previous Resident Evil got a DLC, so of course this was going to get one, no matter how good it did. But
I thought you said you're going to say they're going to bring the creature of the Black Lagoon into it.
He's already in there. They already have a character. Oh, like, do that. They? Yeah, there's a fish character in that game. And Final Fantasy Origins, I just wanted to bring that up because it was fucking stupid. I think the game might be kind of fun because you played like Final Fantasy, like this is like way back when we first started, but Final Fantasy isn't really like a hack and slash game. They're kind of going this way where they're trying to be like Devil May Cry kind of.
Oh, yeah. I've played that stuff. Yeah.
And it's like, it's just weird. And the trailer was so dumb because the guy literally says, which chaos is like a big thing in a lot of the Final Fantasies. Like usually anything bad's like, it's the chaos and chaos. But this guy says chaos in this like 2 minute trailer, just the main character or whatever it is. But like it like the dialogue's so fucking cheesy and stupid. He's like, I'm here to defeat chaos. Are you chaos? Like it like the way they even like edit it was just so bad. And I couldn't even take it seriously. Like, you know, it's like saying like the evil and all that, but like you're saying it too much. Like stop saying that. And the chaos he fights an actual old Final Fantasy character that has a name. And it's like, I guess it was a surprise and all that, but I thought it was silly and it wasn't impressive at all. But did you see the Guardians of the Galaxy game?
No, I didn't. I did hear about it. I did not see any of it at all. Does it look good?
That's Square Enix, and they are, it's, you know, it's the same people that did the Avengers game, which I know you played.
Yeah, that was a good game. I mean, it wasn't that bad. I mean,
Guardians is getting their whole new thing with, like, basically that's same, like, style and all that stuff. So it looks cool. Like, it's...
I'd be interested in it.
Yeah.
Let's hope it comes out for Xbox. It should.
I think it's going to be on all platforms, but, I mean, at least for Xbox and PlayStation.
Well, Avengers was on Xbox and PlayStation, so I don't see why Guardians wouldn't be the same.
Then it will be. But it was cool. They showed a lot, too. And you're basically... I don't know if you... I'm sure you get to play the other characters, but it seems like you're only Star-Lord, more or less. But the story and the way that like they're showing it and stuff looks really cool. You know, like it has that look of the Avengers stuff, but I think it looks better in the sense of just since the Guardians are more of like cartoony characters, and I don't know what the actual story is of it, but it just seems, I mean, again, I love the Guardians of the Galaxy. They're like one of my favorite things in Marvel. So it's like, I would actually play this, you know, over trying the Avengers game and stuff like that. But
I'm interested. I'd check it out.
Yeah. Look up the trailer for that too. Cause like I said, it's, you know, if you played the Avengers before, you'd be like, oh,
yeah, I'd read about they're coming out with the Guardians, but
yeah.
If I would have known, I would have definitely checked it out. But in my,
it's just weird too, because I mean, I like Chris Pratt a lot as Star-Lord, so it's this new guy, and I mean, not new guy, but you know, it's like doesn't look like the live action. Well,
that's
one.
The same with the Avengers. They're similar, the but thing. They're not exactly the
and
same.
And that's why it's like with Guardians, it's a little better, because I mean, besides Gamora, who's still not really like a human looking person, it's like Star-Lord's the only one that looks like the person you're like, oh yeah, that's a Star, you know, Chris Pratt. Or
wasn't like, is he the only human?
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
you're right. Yeah. Well, is he human? I mean, he's like,
well, okay, human like I'm no, sorry.
I know, but that's like what's funny, because you know, it's I don't know what the voice actor's name is, but you know, you're like, you're just trying to be Chris Pratt. But I mean, it's cool. Like, it's not bad. It's just, and again, like, you have to be that. It's like, you can't be, if you're like a, you know, boring character, you wouldn't be Star-Lord. You know what I mean? It's like, you have to play that kind of role. So I'm not going to give that guy shit. It's just like hard to adapt to it. But
oh, I agree. I felt the same way with the Avenger game.
And that's the thing. Yeah, it's the Avenger game. It's like when I first saw that trailer and I'm just like, what the, I don't know if I'm going to be able to play this.
You know? I wish they would have Adam being exactly at like the movies. That would have been,
well,
and not necessarily even have like the voice actors be the same. If they looked exactly,
but if they
like,
look like them, they have,
I mean,
to sound
Hulk
like
looks like him, but Hulk is Hulk.
That's
I mean,
the thing, yeah.
So
because even like the Guardians, like everyone looks different, like Rocket looks different, like they all look different, but again, they're like, you know, aliens, so it's like even if they have a different voice actor, you can kind of like, you know, get off that. Like, it doesn't like hit your head like you when you see Star-Lord. But I hope that that game will probably be a lot of fun. Like, it's not going to be like the best game in the entire world, but it'll be probably worth playing.
That's, to me, that's all that matters. It doesn't always have to be the best game.
True. Yeah.
It's only The Witcher.
Yeah. Well, and then they had the Avatar game. Did you see that?
Are you talking about the last Airbender or evil movie?
The evil movie, Avatar is Avatar, the last Airbender is great. But
screw that environmental BS, but go on.
I know. I'm just saying, I just brought it up because they, I forgot what company that was. Was that, I think it was Square, but that, no, it's not Square. Whatever company brought that, it just literally is like, why? And again, like, it was such a big announcement, and it, for first of all, like, as gaming, no one fucking cares. It's just promoting the movie, the next movie.
I think they're trying to spread their environmentalist propaganda. I don't know. I haven't seen it. Well, it's I'm just guessing
for the movie for sure. And
well, the first movie was environmentalism. So if it's anything like that,
well, again, the movie came out propaganda. What? How many years ago now?
I agree.
And these, you know, James Cameron takes fucking forever to make these dumb movies. So, and I love James Cameron. I love a lot of his movies, but it's like Avatar just wasn't as great as, and again, like, I don't want to play this game's not going to have any character to it and any fun to it. Even the Marvel stuff. It's like, yeah, I've seen all the movies. I've done this, and it is maybe a cash grab to just the Marvel thing, but that's going to be more fun to play those characters than this Avatar game. And it's like, who wanted this? No one wanted. And again, they just, the way they announced that E3 was just, you know, it might as well been the next Witcher, which everybody would want, you know?
Sure.
And that's why it's like, that's so dumb. That's why, that was the biggest probably thing of E3. I was like, really? Like, you want us to get excited for this game? And I'm like, whatever. But yeah, that was E3. I mean, it was good. They had a lot of good coverage of stuff that is coming out, that will be coming out, and that is, you know, shown and has stuff. So, you know, I just think it's funny as the E3 thing being virtual and all that, you know, I definitely hope it goes back to the conference, because that helps a lot of that, like, journalists and stuff that, you know, I listen to and read and stuff, get their actual, you know, information that they want, and that's their job and stuff. And it just means more that if they can go to a conference of a video game thing like that, that's big. So I just hope this is the last time we get like some dumb computer.
I hope this whole virtual world ends for a while. Let's get back to
real. Hate the Matrix that much? No. Yeah, I know. It definitely suffers. And when you're hearing people that like cover stuff like that, they just are very unenthusiastic about what they're covering, because they're like, I'm just reading another website. But, you know, it's like, it's, they're basically doing the same thing we just did, but like, they're like, I have to do this. And all the stuff in between too, because, you know, even the things that we looked at, the trailers and the highlights and all that, I mean, E3 was like 3 to 4 days and whatnot that they are still doing. So it's like, there's hours of content, days. Oh,
yeah. There's a whole bunch of Xbox releases, but none of them really piqued my interest. So, well, yeah.
I mean, that I'm just saying, like, there's coverage in between, like, developers talking that's like, you know,
yeah,
it basically podcasts of just like stuff. It's like, I don't need to sit in front of my computer all day and listen to that.
I totally agree. I would much rather.
If I was in that conversation, that'd be cool, which is, again, like, these people that actually do that for a living. I'm like, I want to hear their input on that if they're in that conversation, but I'm not just going to stand by and watch that.
I agree. You know? I'm with you. And if I know you said we couldn't go, but if we could, I would much rather be in
person.
That's
what I'm saying. Oh, totally. Yeah. If we were able to go and cover stuff, or like at least try to cover stuff or just experience it. Yeah, of course.
I don't see why not.
Sign me up.
We're in the press. We have a job. We should be able to get it and go.
Yeah, we can get that Zoom mic that you have, and we can, you know, just go around, just talk to people and stuff. But yeah, E3 is cool. I mean, I like it because it does bring the games together, and it's a big deal for gaming stuff, and it shows a lot of the next things that are going to be
what's on the horizon.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, the main topic of this Father's Day extravaganza that we're going to be talking about, and DJ is super excited to talk about, is we're going to be talking about the Amazon Prime original animated series, Invincible. So let's get into this breakdown of Invincible. Breakdown, breakdown. Breakdown, breakdown. All right, like I said before, we are talking about Invincible. It is an American animated superhero. It was came out on Amazon. It's made by Robert Kirkman, who he did the comic for this, and he also did The Walking Dead and the show The Walking Dead, too. And this is basically a superhero story of a young boy.
Grayson?
Yeah, Mark Grayson. Which is Dick Grayson, you know, if you like kind of see the.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They copied the entire, what do they call them? The Guardians? What was that first group?
Guardians.
The Guardians of the Globe.
Yeah,
I think it was.
Globe, yeah. But that they had a lot of
that was Justice League. That was.
Of course. They're making fun of it or like, you know, paying homage to it and stuff. I mean, Batman was
they were
on there.
Copying.
But I mean, I think that's what, you know, Kirkman was trying to like, you know, show and stuff because. So, you know, it's a, like I said, it's like this is about a young boy, Mark Grayson, who basically gets his powers because in this world, like people get superpowers and stuff at, you know, kind of like their pubescent era and stuff like that.
Quirks.
It is very all it's very My Hero-esque, but, you know, there's no like. What in My Hero, it's like 80% of people get him.
Yeah, this is much, much less, but yeah. Still, it's the development of it. I meant it's
but
just it, like a quirk.
Yeah, and he gets it because his dad is Omni-Man, who is like Superman, basically. He's like the greatest superhero in the world. So it's like him getting his powers and kind of learning it, and shit happens. So, So yeah, like let's talk about I guess our first impressions and all that. So I want to go with DJ on this since he's scowling.
No, you don't. Yeah. No, you don't.
Well, let me talk with mine since I made you watch this, and I think this is a good. It's a good show. I didn't think it was as amazing as I mean. This was so popular. It so many people recommend this. I mean, not only because I like superhero stuff, but. I mean, it made sense. And I did have this like on my eye for a while. It, you know, I like the DC animated stuff and this has that same look to it as well. But I just didn't know. I'm like, what the hell is Invincible? Like, I just didn't know. And, you know, people are like, it's not DC. It's not. It's its own thing, which actually got me more interested in it, too. But then when they're like, oh, it's, you know, it's very violent and all that stuff. And I've seen clips I've ran into on YouTube where it's just like some of the parts in the show that obviously get hyper violent. And I'm like, so is this going to be like The Boys all over again? Is this literally like a ripoff of The Boys? I just didn't want that, but I was more surprised that it wasn't a ripoff of The Boys because it is violent, but it's just more like the collateral damage of violence. And what superheroes can do to other people in violent-esque. And this is the way it's animated. And I thought that was cool with it too. And Invincible, it's basically like, it is one season and there's going to be, you know, two or three more, but the whole season's basically like one long episode because it's this whole twist of trying to find out what Omni-Man's like, I guess main plot is, and yeah, if you're listening to this, there's going to be a lot of spoilers in this too, but
we can't talk about it without.
Yeah. I mean, we'd basically stop here. So, but, I thought it was cool with the pacing of it. And I liked a lot of the characters in it and there's a lot of funny, like storylines and just cool. Just how like the relationship between Omni-Man and like Invincible and stuff, like it doesn't do too much new, but I just thought it was told well in a lot of the ways and it goes places. But yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was as amazing as some people said, you know, they would call it amazing instead of Invincible, but I thought it was a good superhero thing where, you know, superhero stuff is a little more worn out. So it's hard to kind of break through that mold. And again, I had no idea that this guy who did The Walking Dead did a superhero comic. So I was kind of impressed on that, that he covered that genre as well. So I thought it was, you know, I had a good time with it. But let's hear what you got to say, DJ. Roger Ebert, DJ Grant. No. Two thumbs way no, down.
He's a liberal. I don't want to piss on your parade, but I didn't like it. I liked the graphics. It didn't bother me at all. I didn't. And Red Rush, they're right there. Something good, but I'm just sick of the woke crap. And to me, it was more like they're somnambulists. They're sleepwalkers. They're not really woke. I don't mind that they had the interracial relationships. That's good, actually. Don't mind they had the gay in there. It's good, actually, too. No problem with that at all. But I did mind, and I need to say this, when Amber goes to the school, and the only thing she cares about is the social justice program, there is no such thing as social justice. Justice is an absolute. And it just is. You don't need to water it down. There's no such thing as white justice, black justice, red justice, Chinese justice, or even American justice. It's just justice. And
back to Justice League.
Yeah. Well, I get more into that with the Superman, because I think there's a huge tie into Superman, and because Superman is supposed to be a representation of America, and Omni-Man was supposed to be Superman. But notice that Omni-Man is basically the white supremacist who used his race. They want to have his race take over the world. So the old white guy is the Nazi, basically. Now, I could have had a woman do that, but nope. Had to have the old white guy. They did that on purpose. And it honestly, it pissed me off. Because it's if you're white, you're bad, basically. And I didn't like it at all. But notice, now when we get back to the Superman thing, Superman was truth, justice, and the American way. That's what he always used to say, right? He didn't say truth, American justice. No, he said truth, justice, and the American way. So there is no American justice, it's just justice. So there is no social justice. It's just justice. If it's just, it is. If it's justice, it should be just for everybody. I mean, because it's a universal. I mean, it's an abstraction, there's no doubt about it. And it should be the application, the proper application of ethics, because politics flows out of ethics and justice is politics. But I just didn't like how they made the old generation evil. Omni-Man is evil. Old white men are evil. I think if you were to say black people are evil, then black people would be right to be pissed off. And I think I'm just as right to be pissed off when they say old white people are evil. Old white men are evil. And it pissed me off. It really, really pissed me off. Philosophically speaking.
So you got really triggered.
Yes, I
yeah, you were like super triggered on all this stuff.
It was unnecessary. They could have told the story without the stupid woke, as if they're so much superior because they're woke. No, they're not. My only question is, because I haven't read the comics, is this canon for
never
that
read
comic?
The comics, so I don't know.
Yeah, so if this was a twist for the cartoon, I don't know which one, what else you can call it, then maybe it's just for this. Either way, the writing is horrible. It's wrong. It's downright evil. It's just as evil. If you say that gay people are bad, that's evil. It's just as evil to say white people are bad. And that's the statement that they were making with Omni-Man. And I don't think it was just white people. It was old white people. They were basically calling old white people Nazis. It's the whole MAGA thing. And I'm not a Donald Trump fan. Never supported him. But it's just as wrong to be prejudiced against white people as it is to be prejudiced against black people, as it is to be prejudiced against gay people. It's just as wrong. See, there's no separate justice. That's the whole point of this. They got the whole concept of justice wrong. And from a philosophical point of view, they're on the wrong side of the coin.
I would love if we could get Robert Kirkman. I would just love to hear what he would have to say.
Yeah, I would love it too. I'd be interested in what is justification of it.
Did you like The Walking Dead?
Never watched a single episode of it, not once. It never appealed to me. I'm not into zombies.
But you watch Army of the Dead.
I watched, yes, because I was bored and I said, hey, okay, it's on. And it was the star of the Guardians of the Galaxies. And that's what.
And you hate Marvel.
But I watch it, so I'm like, okay.
Let's get this straight.
I don't hate Marvel. I just think DC's, like, DC's better. Yeah, okay, yeah. I don't hate Marvel at all.
No, I mean, you obviously, if that's the way you read it, I mean, yeah, I mean, that is one way you can definitely look at Invincible. And if Robert Kirkman did do all that for that, that'd be a question for him to, you know, talk about and see if he did feel that way in those views, because I have no idea. I mean, I don't think Walking Dead's great. It's was good, and it turned out just to be a long-running piece of crap of, yeah, like, too much zombie shit. But, and again, I said, too, Invincible wasn't as amazing as some people said, because it was not that interesting in a lot of ways, in the sense of superhero stuff, where it's like superheroes doing bad things and this and that. And it's basically the way I looked at it, you know, it's very Superman-esque of if Superman was bad and just, like, raised a kid and tried to, you know, kind of take over the world through his, like, spawn and stuff. But it's,
I heard so that this also universe is connected to Spawn too.
Like the comic
book? Exists in the same universe. I read that they all exist in their own bubble, but they are connected. And there was a crossover too with Invincible. He did a crossover with Spider-Man. It was a Marvel crossover.
Oh, I had no idea about that.
Yeah, in my,
because that's prep, like, it's more, it's just, that. It feels more DC to me. So that's actually interesting that it'd be in Spider-Man. So,
yeah. So if I could take away the anti-white male stuff that's in there.
Yeah, the stuff that triggered you.
Yeah, I did. Triggered me. I did like the fact that Invincible stood up to his dad. Because from any teenager point of view, that's what you're doing. You're rebelling against your parents. You know, that's life.
Yeah, and that's, like, again, why I thought this would be fun to bring up on, like, a Father's Day thing where, you know, the one of the big things in the show, you know, it's,
but he was a crappy father, so that's why you're being ironic. That's what I was watching. Like,
but there
what
are did a lot of nice Father's Day? Sentimental things where it's, like, in the middle where he's, like, training Mark and all
not
that.
Not really. I really don't think so, because I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think he had his plans to take over the world.
And
had nothing to
do
with his
son. Mark does. That's the thing, because you're not looking at it through Omni-Man. Like, Omni-Man's, like, the thing you're trying to figure out.
From Mark's point
of view. And that's the
thing.
It's like you're kind of Mark in those situations, and you're, when he gets his powers, and, you know, he's talking about, it's like you're peeing, you know, like that whole thing where it's like flying and stopping and. It's
okay,
like,
but it's all comes unraveled and ruined for me anyways when it turns out that Omni-Man had evil ulterior motives.
That's
so those things don't even
thing.
Matter anymore. It's like he truly didn't mean. I get what you're saying. I totally understand it. And from Grayson's point of view, it makes sense that, you know, that he was looking up to his dad. In fact, he still at the very end said, "I'd still have you, Dad." I mean, that you're absolutely right, 100% right. Because everyone still loves their dad. Even if you get a crappy father, you still love your dad.
Beats you to a pulp. Yeah. Yes. And that's like,
falling off.
Well, and, you know, when Omni-Man, like, gets a, you know, has the flashback of him playing baseball and stuff. I mean, he is at a point where he's going to kill Mark and, you know, cause he's weak and he doesn't.
Because he didn't agree with him. He wouldn't kill him at all if he said, I'll go for the line with you and I'll help take over the earth. I know he does, in a way, think he's weak.
Well, we have no idea what's going to happen next, since we both never read it and there's going to be.
You're right, I don't. But
seasons,
I think he left in shame because he couldn't kill him.
True.
Okay, I
and
really
that
think
goes
that.
Against his race. So.
Yes. And so there may be
his
a reckoning.
White ass race of black people and other type of.
It's more, I think it's also tied into the Nazis. I really think that he represented the Nazis. I truly,
it's
truly do.
It's a typical trope that a lot of things do. So
yeah, but regardless, I think he's gonna go get his Nazi friends and come back. I think I don't. I truly don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
his race,
Voltramites, whatever they're called.
I mean, yeah, I guess. And but there was a lot of, I don't know. I just thought this had a lot of cool, like, genuine moments though with how superheroes were too, where a lot, again, you are Mark, and Mark isn't the greatest character ever. You know, he is invincible, but.
But don't you think they let their secret identities out way too easily?
Well, yeah. And again, like, it didn't make any sense. And even all the stuff of, like, him trying to cover up his stuff, like, didn't make any sense, where a lot of the other characters either didn't care or they did it a lot more, like, where it made sense, where they're just like, I have to go to work instead of, like, you know, going to the bathroom and stuff like that.
But it makes so much more sense for him to hook up with Adam Eve than to try and hook up with Amber.
Yeah.
And if they would have went down that storyline, I think that would have been a much better way to go.
And they might.
They might, but we only have what we have now. And as right now, I just don't think he was ever a good fit with Amber.
Yeah.
I just don't think they were compatible.
I thought that was weird too, that she did stay with him and knew like 2 weeks before and all that. I'm like, that's a lot of time to be like.
Well, doesn't she? She basically bitched at him for lying to her. But
yeah, she like kind of wanted to call.
Didn't she lie to him?
Yeah.
By not coming out and saying, I know who you are.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, why would you?
She was a hypocrite.
Especially at the expense of someone being a superhero.
Yeah. And she knew who he was when they were at the college. Yeah. At least she still bitched at him for leaving, knowing who he was, knowing what he did, knowing he saved her ass. She still bitched at him. No, she was wrong.
From a lot of the things I read too, where it's like the comic does make that more sense. Like they fleshed that out better, and they did a bad job in the show, where it's like they had, I mean, obviously it's like he still needs to have this relationship with her, but they just made it very like on the side, you know, because they obviously were focusing on like him and Omni-Man, which is the bigger part.
No,
of
it
the
is.
Show
and it, stuff, I get that. I just wished, like I already said, it would have been him and Adam Eve. They both would have understood each other because they're both superheroes. They didn't need to put out their secret to anyone else because they would both know it. They already did know it. So I just thought that they were, as a couple, would have been much more compatible just based on the fact that they were superheroes.
Yeah.
And they had a lot in that.
Invincible isn't even that great of a character, too. Like, he isn't. It's like he's just this thing that has to move the story through. It's like kind of the other stuff. Like even Omni-Man, even though he's like very evil and all that stuff, it's like you're more interested, and especially in the beginning first episode that you see he's a bad character. Like, you know, when he kills the Guardians of the Globe or whatever, it's like, you know, and at that point when you see the first episode, it's like maybe they are bad, like, you know, like and that's where, again, why I like the show is how they paced it along the way they did. Even, and it wasn't that long, you know, for a show. Like, yeah, that could have been done, you know, if you read it, probably goes a lot faster.
Episodic speaking, I agree with you. I did like the pacing as well, and each episode did bring something to the table. But there was another I wanted to bring up too, about the anti-whiteness in this. Adam Eve's real boyfriend noticed he was an ass and he was white. Could have made him black. Could have made him Latino.
He wasn't white.
Yes, he was. Mm-mm. What is he?
He's like brown.
No.
He's not black. He's brown. The guy that has the coins?
No, yeah, he wears the red suit.
Yeah, and he bangs like the doppelganger.
He bangs duplicate. I thought he was white.
No.
Nope. I could be mistaken.
Absolutely wrong.
Am I? What was he?
He's like not white.
That doesn't give me anything.
I'm just
because
saying,
even
he's
his
not
even
black.
His clone to me looked white.
His clone?
Yeah, the robot cloned him.
Oh, okay. So we're talking about the guy that throws the coins, because the guy that cheats on her that was in the same team as her.
Yes,
that's what we're talking about.
Yes,
Jason Mantzoukas plays him, and I love Jason Mantzoukas. He's a funny comedian, and again, this is like one of the things with Invincible, it's like voice acting is like a big thing with this. They got a lot of great voice actors. And I love Jason Mantzoukas. He's really funny. And I was like, he played a teenager. He has this like, you know, raspy, weird, like kind of silly voice. But I thought it just sucked for that character. And especially with him being a big part of the show. Yeah, he's not white.
Then I'm
he
wrong.
He has to be like Indian
then
or like Mexican.
Then I stand
or
corrected.
Like that, so.
I stand corrected then. But I did not. I could have sworn that he was white. But
it's
then I stand
an animated
corrected.
Show.
Well, it looked to me like he was white.
We'll look at things after because I can show you. But
no. Like I said, I stand corrected. I'm obviously wrong on that. Will I can admit when I'm woke.
If it was a white guy, that'd be more generic. I mean, of course you got to be woke and you got to be right?
Okay, come on. Yes, good point.
I'm trying to go with you on your side here. White girl, you know, that floated around in her pink outfit dated a white guy, I mean, you might as well be watching Saved by the Bell.
That's a good point. And there's a lot of interracial in this. So, yeah. I mean, even Omni-Man's.
I just held your argument for you.
You're absolutely right. No. Like I said, I stand corrected.
The voice acting is a big thing in this because there's a lot of good voice actors.
Wasn't Mark Hamill in it too?
He's the costume designer.
Yeah.
Which I thought was funny because I didn't get that at first until I looked into things. And like he only has like a couple lines, but I was like, yeah, it is Mark Hamill. It's just like funny because, you know, he's just like a generic guy. Like he's not a superhero. And he's only in like two episodes.
He's the male version of The Incredibles.
Yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah. It's just funny that he can be the Joker, Luke Skywalker, and like so many of these like off, like, I mean, Luke Skywalker isn't like anything off the range, but he's a good voice actor. He does really well.
Oh, absolutely. So, he is a good voice actor. I have nothing.
I think he made his voice so like normal that you wouldn't know that was Mark Hamill.
No, it you know? like you said, it took a little bit to figure it out. It was him. But then once you did, it all clicked. But yeah,
they had, Steve Yeun is Invincible, who's in The Walking Dead and stuff like that. There's actually a lot of Walking Dead crossovers and a lot of the characters as well too. And, J.K. Simmons, who's obviously Omni-Man, which is a good pick, I thought, because he has that voice. You know, he's the Allstate guy. Yeah, I kept not the Allstate
Farmers.
But I
kept seeing the peanut M&M.
He does that.
Yes, yeah, he does the peanut M&M voice.
I could see that he would be like that character in something, but like I didn't know he did that. That's funny. But yeah, he's a good, his voice is really good, and he for Omni-Man it like fit really well. So
yeah, and also it brought in the Spider-Man.
Because he's which is so great, and it's like he is that character no matter.
Yeah, he is.
MCU
he really has
to keep hiring him. If they recast him, it's like you're just not doing a good job.
I 100% agree with you. He is that character.
What were some of your? Did you? I mean, I guess you didn't really enjoy the show, but it's like, did you?
I did like the animation. I did the city animation. I mean,
there's a lot of stuff that happens in it too. For me, with this show, it's like the last 10, 15 minutes are like kind of the story. And, you know, they're like 45 minute episodes. So it's like you watch a lot of the things and at least like, you know, I think it was 8 episodes, right? Or something like that. But it's like the core of a few of them are very stupid and like very just like whatever, you know, like at the school one where like that kid was making people into robots and all that stuff.
Yeah, cyborgs.
It's like none of that really, it was just like a monster of the week stuff, like superhero shit, you know, where you just be like, you know, Invincible has to stop this crisis happening. See, then at the end, it would be like Omni-Man stuff.
I think that was another tie into the Nazi thing because, you know about Operation Paperclip, right?
Yep.
All right, well, we got not all of them. We got a good majority of the scientists to come work for us. What did the government do? Get the evil scientists to come work for them. I really believe
it's like that Hunter show we talked about.
Yes. Yeah. I really believe that was a tie-in to the Nazi. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But I really think it was. I did like the fight between Invincible and Omni-Man. Yeah, I thought that was good.
Did you like Cecil?
Not really. I'm anti-government. So once I found out that he was a government,
it's like Agent
him.
S.H.I.E.L.D., which is like government.
I never liked S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. I thought S.H.I.E.L.D. was evil too. So.
I liked Cecil. I thought he was a character I didn't really like because I thought he was that generic like guy. But I just, he's that guy that was in, he's in Justified. He has like the big teeth and all that stuff. I forgot his name. I didn't write it down, but he's a really good voice actor. And I thought he did a good job.
Thought you were talking about the character. Okay.
What I'm saying. Like I like that. I did like the character, and I liked the actor that played the character.
I just felt, see, it's my anti-government bias coming out, because I just thought he was so willing to sacrifice people and a lot of people, just like the government. And no, so I don't like that. So
I guess I thought he was interesting, and it's like he wasn't moral or anything, because even one of my favorite characters, Darkblood, I thought he was really cool, because he was like kind of this mix of Hellboy with like a detective. And like, I mean, when they put him away, I was like, what? I'm like, I mean, it's like he doesn't die, but
he
was just trying to do the right thing. That's my point.
And the government steps in and shuts him up, you know, and it's,
I know it's fucked up. Cause that's again, two characters. I'm just like, I like Cecil and I like this guy. And I'm like, and he was trying to figure out Omni-Man's thing. Like all he was doing, it was just doing his own. Okay.
I know that the Hellboy guy was trying to save his own soul, because he had to do that to get out of.
Yeah, he was like abided by, but, like, or yeah.
But was he there just for that reason, or did the government hire him to do the detective work? I can never figure that out.
Yeah, I don't think so, because then it's like, why wouldn't they just have him keep doing it? Because that's all he was doing, working for free, basically. Well,
no,
so.
Okay, yeah, then I guess maybe he was on his own.
I think that's because, you know, that's what Cecil said when he's like, you're getting in the way, and it's like, we have things because we know he's a bad guy, but we just can't have somebody like running their mouth, which you're going to say something.
No free press around here.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, that makes sense, and yeah, that's another reason why not to like Cecil.
Yeah, I just can't. Like, again, I don't love him. He's not my favorite character, but I just thought he was an interesting character.
He's a typical evil government bureaucrat.
But again, he was trying to stop the more evil, which was Omni-Man.
Was he?
So,
he knew he was evil all along and still unleashed him.
I just thought it was, you know, I thought it was cool, but. And the way he protected,
you have the right to your opinion.
The way he protected, you know, Mark's mom and all that stuff. And again, they were doing everything they can to stop him and stuff. And Omni-Man, I just thought it was interesting. I just, again, it was just him too, not like his the lackey. Organizations and stuff. It's just, I just thought Cecil was a cool guy, and that could change, but.
No, I didn't like him because he was a government. I already
said
that.
Yeah.
So
he has a suit on and a tie. So
has nothing to do with that. It's who he's.
I get it. I already knew. Like there were so many things that when I first watched this, I'm just like, it's like, I can read you like a book, DJ. So I guess that's what happens.
That's not good. If you can read me like a book, that's not good. I need to.
We've podcast for a long time, so I'm sure you can do the same with me. But did you have any favorite like? Episodes or like even minor characters that didn't even come into, like, I mean, there's a lot of comedic value to the show as well.
I don't know about episodes, but I guess my favorite character was Adam Eve.
Yeah, because she was really cool.
She was an individualist. Mm-hmm. She basically went away from the parents, went out on her own. I mean, that's an individualist. Yeah. I mean, she stood on her own. She did what she thought was right. You know, helping people, and she thought I really liked her as a character.
I liked her a lot too. She's great.
I would have to say that she was my favorite character. I mean, I'm not saying I did not like Grayson. I liked him too, but
it's like he's an undeveloped character.
Yeah, he had his flaws.
You almost can't like be with him too, because I felt the same way. It's like, you know, he's the main guy, but you would have to almost talk, like we'll have to do another podcast when it's over to like. Know if you like that character or not. You know what I mean? Because especially with what you find out.
Actually, that could change with Adam Eve and Hollum too. She could end up being an
exactly.
Evil bitch,
so it's like you got to go by season basis with how this goes. But.
So as of now, so far, I think Adam Eve was the best character all around.
What do you think about the robot stuff?
Once he showed his own that he was. He's a pragmatist.
Yeah.
The end justifies the means. He's willing to work with the bad guys to get his own.
Yeah.
His own
that
body.
Was like a whole twist in the sense of like that was a whole thing going on too.
See,
once
again, I've said it before that pragmatism is evil. Once I defined him as a pragmatist, didn't like him anymore.
Yeah.
He's done with me. So, the question I had is the one guy, that he comes back to life and the final scene.
Oh, the immortal.
Is it the immortal? Yeah, I thought that's what his name was. He wasn't too immortal, was he?
Well, it's like he died twice. And that's like actually the funniest thing though too, because when he first gets killed, you know, it's like, I mean, I chops his head off, and then, which are another great characters, the clone guys, you know, like I forgot their name, but it's like when it's like he always has the clone, they're fighting who's the original, you know, like, I'm there.
Well, that's another fall too. Yeah, that was funny, but there's a flaw to that, because they said they were clones, so they knew what each other was thinking. They said that, but then they were asking him, what are you going to do next?
Yeah.
How did you not know?
They're just, I just thought they were funny, but
no, they were probably the comic relief of the whole show. They were, I'm just saying, I just saw that logical inconsistency because they would,
well, that's why they're always fighting. Cause it's like, again, yeah, if we could read each other mind, I mean, there'd be no argument, right?
And they couldn't fight, cause they'd be able to know what punch was coming, where it would, it was a logic. Yeah. I don't think they thought that one through is what I'm saying.
But that's what I thought the joke was funny with him, where, you know, it's like the immortal gets killed, and it's like, then the episodes happen, and when they figure out like Omni-Man's like going crazy and all this stuff, like they just are making fun of like humans not understanding science as much as they did. And they're like, he's called the immortal. They just put him together wrong. And like, you know, they connected his head to his body, came back to, it was like such a simple thing. And it was like, oh yeah, you know, like I guess that probably would have worked, you know, but
I said earlier, he died twice. So he wasn't too immortal, and his face, only his face, reminded me of Wolverine. I looked at that, it looks like Wolverine.
He kind of reminded me of maybe just his suit. It just looked like what's his name in My Hero Academia?
What's the quirk?
I can't even think of his son's name. He's the number one now, but he's the
Endeavor.
Endeavor.
Okay, like the suit. His suit, you know, is like Endeavor.
Without
the fire
and stuff. Like, if there was fire,
you couldn't think of Todoroki. Oh my gosh,
that's what I was like, man. I don't want to chop my head off.
Wait till I tell her. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, like
no, his
like
outfit,
if you like set him on fire, it's like he kind of.
If you took out the orange in Endeavor's outfit, his outfit was a lot like Endeavor's.
That's what
Immortals wasn't like Endeavor's a lot, yes.
But that, like, they had a lot of that too, where, you know, even all the characters in the show were just basically knockoffs of, you know, even like if you go over the Justice of the Globe of Justice or whatever they call it, it's like the one Batman guy. I mean, it literally was Batman. It's like,
true.
It's like Darkwing. He was like kind of purple. And
there's no doubt about it. They were, well, a lot of those. They had,
and like Wonder Woman.
Yes,
was
they
there.
Definitely had Wonder Woman. They had Flash. They had a whole bunch of
Red
them.
Red Rush was Flash.
Yes,
yeah, I mean, it's like.
And by the way, Endeavor's number one now. But just
that's why I was saying, because I was like, it's not number two, number one, but he's number two.
There was a lot. Yes, in my podcast, yes, he's still number two. But anyways, there was a lot of references to, DC, and maybe you're right, maybe he was just paying homage to them, he wasn't ripping them off like I thought that he was. But
and I think that's like a lot of what the show is a lot of like references to superhero genre and all that, which again, when you're making a show like this, it's like you can have whatever kind of storyline you are, where it's like Anu-Man and Mark and all that, like the father and son dynamic, and like, you know, being, you know, the Nazi of the whatever. But it's like, even at the end, the last episode, they had a funny, like, kind of, it's like fucked up version of like paying homage to like Spider-Man, where when Omni-Man's telling Mark about like who they are and like what the Viltrumites are and all that stuff, and that he doesn't care about humanity, and he just places him in front of the train and just kills all those people. That's where I'm like, this is like boys-esque beyond.
Oh yeah.
And again, like, they saved it obviously for the finale, but from what I read and stuff like that, the creator was making fun of the Spider-Man thing in Spider-Man 2 when he saves the train, you know, when he like does the web slinging and like stops the train from getting crushed. So it's like kind of like the opposite of like if everyone did die, but, you know, and I was like, that's pretty funny, even though that was, a crazy scene, you know.
No, it was very crazy. I mean, how much, talk about Father's Day, how much do you love your son if you're going to hold his hat to an upcoming train? And
how much do you like your dad if you're like, my dad just did this to me? Just literally wipe people on.
That's why
when
I was watching this, I'm saying, why did he say this is a Father's Day? This is anti-Father's Day.
Remember the baseball thing.
Even then you were standing there all, I don't want nothing to do with this.
I just thought, if I could connect it to anything, and it just, Father's Day was the other day, so it's like, that's all I got.
Okay.
just give me what I get.
Look, I'm not mad or upset that I watched it. In fact, I'll watch anything you ask me to watch. If it wasn't just for the anti-white stuff, I wouldn't be so against it.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't absolutely throwing the trash bad. If they could take that away and correct that. I mean, even given all the other stuff, I have nothing against all the other stuff. It's just that one aspect that the old white guy has to be bad. If it wasn't for that, not just bad, he has to be a Nazi.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see, and we can come back to this and talk about when the other seasons come out.
Yeah, but we'll see.
I think we can wrap up. I mean,
I have nothing else to say. No.
But, I think that was a good talk on Invincible. Oh, yeah, one thing I thought... this is just like a small thing, but I really enjoyed the title card because they didn't have like an opening or anything like that.
How it kept getting more blood until the
very end. I thought that was really cool. It was. It's like, it just, and the way they always would do it, because they'd be like, they would like tie in the word invincible.
Yeah.
Like, I am.
And then they show it. Yeah.
And it's like either whatever episode.
That was creative. That absolutely. Was funny, absolutely. So. Yes. That wasn't bad at all.
Yeah. I wanted to throw that out there. So
no, there were I like the animation. It's not as good as Attack on Titan, but
no, I mean, the animation is by far on a, besides even like the only time they upped their budget was when people died. And it's like,
but even like when they showed New York, at least I think it was New York. I did like how the drawings of the buildings and how all that looked. I do think they took some time in the details on that. And that I can appreciate. Okay. It's just this couple of storyline flaws that just,
oh, I get it. I mean, that's definitely what you read off it, you know, and you're, that's what you thought. And that's all that is the point of this podcast. So,
okay.
But why don't we do some plugs and get out of here? So why don't we talk about your podcast?
I mean, the number one endeavor. Or...
What's it? This anime?
The Plus Ultra My Hero Academia podcast with myself, my daughter, and Trainwreck here. Yeah. And
what's my name?
I enjoy the podcast. I like My Hero. I think it's another good take on heroes and quirks and just, you can check us out anywhere you get a podcast. I'm sure what you're listening to now, you can hear us, and also on Facebook. My daughter always lashes at me, says I'm so old because I put it on Facebook. But if you're interested, it's under Plus Ultra MHA podcast. So check us out.
Yeah, it's a great podcast. Check it out. And again, you can find all of our stuff on bonsaichat.com. Got a new Bonsai bit coming out soon, working on that, so I'm getting those back out there, and we'll be getting more episodes and good stuff out there. So follow us, leave reviews, all that good stuff, and just come back to listen to, and until then, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Goodbye.